Hello.
Hello, is Dr. Pardee there?
Just a moment, please.
Hello.
Hello, Dr. Pardee?
Yes?
Yes, my name is Lee Altenberg, and I was talking with Cyclone Covey.
Yeah.
At Walter Thompson House.
Right.
And he suggested I call you. I have a number of questions.
All right. Where are you?
I'm at Duke University.
Where?
North Carolina, Duke University. And I got my PhD at Stanford in 1985.
Uh-huh.
And became something of the co-op historian when I was there, and discovered the previously unknown existence of Walter Thompson House.
Yes.
Because there are now seven student co-op houses in Stanford. Yeah. And the Walter Thompson was essentially completely forgotten.
I'm not surprised. We were sort of squoze out by the administration.
Yeah.
In the Second World War.
Hmm. Let's see. What I had a bunch of questions, and I Stanford has an oral history project.
Uh-huh.
And where they take talks with various people about Stanford history, and just keep them on record. I wondered, would you mind if I recorded this?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all.
That'd be great. One of the main questions I'm looking into is Leland Stanford was very interested in cooperatives. We were aware of that at all?
Not at all. I was not.
Huh. Because in the obituary that Cyclone Covey wrote for the house,
yes,
he mentions that, and
uh-huh.
That's one of the few times that I've seen the knowledge that Leland Stanford was an advocate of cooperatives,
right,
and actually put it in the university charter mentioned. And I was trying to find out where that information might have come from.
Oh, gee, I have no idea.
Huh. Did you know anything about Walter Thompson?
Walter Thompson was a professor there.
Did you know him at all?
I did not.
Uh-huh.
I was not one of the charter members. I came in probably year, 2 years after. I came in 41, and I think it was founded either in 40 or 39.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was started in 1941.
Oh, no.
Oh.
No, no. It was originally, the Walter Thompson House was originally on Alvarado Road.
Uh-huh.
And it was a house.
Yeah.
I'd have to...
Cyclone Covey was saying that it was the Japanese house that had been...
Now, that was afterwards.
I see. It started somewhere else.
It started down on Alvarado Road.
Oh.
And then the Japanese house, they moved up to there. And probably in the summer of 42. See, the Japanese were evacuated.
Yeah.
From the West Coast, right?
Right, right.
So that house became available.
I see.
And the people who were running the co-op house.
Uh-huh.
Seized the opportunity to move into, instead of a family type house,
mm-hmm,
to move into a dormitory type house.
I started out in a family home. Or
it did start as in a family home.
Was there a family also there, or was it just
no? Not when I came. I came in the fall of 41.
I see.
And I was only. For that year, I was only an eater.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I got my food there. Then, at the end of that year, I moved into the one up, the Japanese house, which was on Santa Ynez.
Oh, that was on Santa Ynez?
Yeah.
Let's see, I'm trying to... I wonder if that... Do you know, is that house still standing?
No. I went by, I was out there this summer.
Uh-huh.
And I went by, and it no longer exists.
Oh, and the Alvarado, it doesn't exist either, I don't think.
I bet it doesn't. I haven't looked for it. I'm sure that it's long gone.
Yeah. Do you remember Theta Chi House?
No.
Would have been just...
I don't remember
yeah.
it. I mean, I knew they existed.
Right.
But I don't remember where it was.
Because that's on Alvarado also, on the corner. Well, they've changed the road around there.
You're right.
So...
Nice. Well, they put up a whole bunch of new dormitories. You'd almost have to go back to an old Stanford map to find
yeah.
out what the place, what Alvarado Row was.
I see.
I was a graduate student. I came down as a graduate student.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And I needed and I ran into a friend who had found this place for eating.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So then I joined them.
I see. So you started eating there in 41?
In 41, the fall of 41. Then, of course, it was Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
And then the Japanese were removed.
Yeah.
Oh, in the spring. Rather soon.
Yeah.
So the university became caretakers, whatever, of the Japanese house. So we rented it from them.
Who owned the house? Do you remember?
The Japanese Association did.
I see.
Okay.
Do you know when the war ended, and I know that's the administration terminated Walter Thompson House.
Yeah.
Do you know what were they expecting the Japanese would come back to the house? Or?
No, that I don't know. By that time I was in the Navy.
I see.
Although I and three others ended up as trustees for the Walter Thompson House.
Huh.
We had about, all we had was about $1,500 or so, which we finally turned over to the university for a scholarship or something like that.
Huh. Now let's see. So you don't remember anything about Walter Thompson?
No, I don't. I think he was a political scientist.
Yeah. Do you know anybody who would? Any of the founders?
Their names escape me right now. I could probably look them up.
Okay.
There's a guy by the name of Bob Randolph who was one of the other trustees. There were two former student trustees and two faculty trustees.
Huh.
Paul Kirkpatrick, who's in his 90s now.
Wow.
Professor of physics.
Uh-huh.
Was one. And J. Murray Luck.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Who was a professor in biology or something like that.
Because he wrote an article in Co-op News about Stanford's cooperative interests.
Right.
And I've been trying to chase that article down. Now, Luck was a professor, you said, in what?
I think it was biology. One of the biological sciences. Now, whether it was zoology or botany, all those names have changed.
Yeah, yeah. And Kirkpatrick was in physics.
Physics, yes. Now, I think Kirkpatrick's still alive.
Do you know about Luck?
I do not know about
yeah.
Luck.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, Randolph belonged to the house before I did.
Uh-huh. Is he still alive, do you know?
Hmm?
Is he still alive?
Oh, yes. Yeah. He's younger than I am.
Ah.
And he's just retired, and he lives up in the Napa Valley.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Oh, well.
Now, there's one guy, gosh, I can't remember his name. But if I could, he was one of the founders and could tell you all about why it was called the J. Walter Thompson House and all that. Oh, boy.
Hmm.
McCann, McCabe, something like that. And if you looked at a quad of about 1941 and found a McCann or a McCabe or something like that.
Oh, okay.
That would be the man we're talking about, who was one of the founders.
Uh-huh.
could tell you all about the history of how it started.
I see. Okay. Now, Randolph, you don't know whether he was a founder or not?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't know. McCann was either a graduate student or a senior or something like that when it was founded.
I see. Okay. Now, so you said after it was terminated, there was still some money left over?
Yeah, very small amount of money.
$1,500? And then, and you just turned that over for scholarships?
We invested it for a while. It didn't earn very much money, and then we were frittering around, getting no place.
Yeah.
So finally, we terminated it by turning it to the university.
Do you remember when that was?
I don't remember when it was. It's something I could look up, but I don't
remember. Yeah. Now, what do you recall about the reason for terminating the house?
There was a guy by the name of a vice president there, by the name of Alvin Urich, and he ultimately left Stanford and came, and he was president of the State University of New York.
Urich? How do you spell
that? But he wanted the university to control everything. Okay. And I don't remember exactly what our dealings with him were, but they weren't good. That's the best way I can describe it.
Yeah.
He wanted the university to be named the trustees of the co-op house.
Oh.
Okay. And there was some question about opening it up after the war. I went back on the GI Bill.
Uh-huh.
I was married.
Uh-huh.
So I wasn't. And there weren't too many people there interested in it. But I think there was an attempt to start it, and I think they just said no.
Huh. Attempt to start?
Another a co-op, I mean a continuation.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Now, boy, I'd have to, I've got some historical papers.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. I mean, I've got the trust fund and
oh, wow.
And the papers on that.
Would you be interested in making copies?
Sure.
Sending them to me?
Yeah. Hold on.
Yeah.
I want to get your name and address.
Yeah, yeah.
Susie?
What?
Are we there?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Your name?
My name is Dr. Lee Altenberg, A-L-T-E-N.
A-L-T?
E-N.
T-E-N?
B-E-R-G.
Now, let's see. Lee?
Uh-huh.
L-E-E?
Uh-huh.
Dr. Lee, A-L-T-E-N-B-E-R-G.
Right.
All right.
And I'm at the Department of Zoology.
Yep.
Duke University. Durham.
Yep.
North Carolina. 27706.
27706. Okay,
let me give you my phone number. If you,
all right.
That's 919.
919. 383. 5327. There's a new Stanford directory coming up.
Yeah.
And we're going to get one.
Ah, great.
And it may be that Dick McCann is in there.
Uh-huh.
Dick McCann.
Dick?
I think that's right.
Uh-huh.
I've got the last one, which is, what, about 5 years old?
Yeah.
But I'll try to be sure about the name.
Yeah.
And the stuff that I have, I see no reason why I shouldn't Xerox it and send it to you.
Yeah, that would be great. I've discovered there's quite a bit of co-op history at Stanford.
Right.
And beginning with Leland Stanford himself.
Uh-huh.
And so I've been trying to, you know, try to put together as much of it as I can.
How'd you run into Cyclone?
I found this, you know, I guess it was through the archives. I saw the reference to that article. I found it, his obituary to Walter Thompson House in the Stanford Daily. And then I have one of the 84, that alumni directory, and I just, you know, gave him a call. Since he's over in Wake Forest.
Right, right. I see him from time to time.
Ah.
He's a very old friend of mine.
Yeah. So, and he especially suggested you as I should contact. And I just got your number from the same directory.
Sure.
And you know, that reminded me I guess let me see. If you say it started in 39, so it would already be 50 years old.
Well, it started in 39 or 40. It started before I got there.
Yeah, because I don't know if you think it'd be worthwhile, but it might having a reunion, a 50th anniversary reunion, would be. Right around now.
That might be.
You think any of the other alums would be interested?
I think so. One would have to look them up. Now,
I think a couple years ago when I first discovered this, I think I sent you a letter. Do you remember ever getting it?
Ever since I've been talking to you,
uh-huh.
I think I've been trying to remember some communication about this before.
Yeah, I think I sent you a letter, and I had a bunch of the addresses of the alums as
right.
I've been able to find
yeah,
them.
I'm afraid that's sitting on a pile of stuff that I haven't gotten around to, and it's gotten buried deeper and deeper.
I know how that is.
Well, I'm retired now.
Yeah, and you'll be able to get to it now.
Well, no, those are the kinds of things that I find interesting. But we travel a fair amount,
uh-huh.
And you know the garbage mail that arrives. When we come back,
yeah.
If it's only for 3 weeks or a month, we're gone. I mean, everything's piled high.
Yeah.
And so then I just sort of go through it, but I keep throwing stuff on the stack. And
yeah.
It's not good.
Yeah.
I have resolved to do better,
ah.
But I haven't succeeded yet.
Well, I could, let's see. Well, since I've kind of, you know, I've got something of a collection of it. Do you have a collection of the names yourself?
I have a collection of the people who were all the members at the time who signed the trust account.
Ah.
Now, that would be 42 or 43.
Yeah.
Do you remember what time, what year Cyclone's article was?
It was August 23rd, 1945.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. That late. That would be about right.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll pull these things together and Xerox them.
Yeah, that'd be great. Because I think it'd be nice to have some sort of commemoration of Walter Thompson House being the first co-op.
I think the people, some of them, by the way, died in the Second World War.
Yeah.
And so forth. But I think the people who still exist would. I think they get a bang out of anniversary.
Yeah, a reunion.
Sure.
Well, let's see. Would you want to? Let me try. I mean.
Well, if I send the stuff.
Yeah.
I have all the names on it.
Okay.
No problem about that.
All right.
Now, I'm going to talk to Randolph.
Uh-huh.
Randolph was my best man in Cyclone. He was an usher at my wedding.
Oh, wow. Huh.
So, you know, we're sort of close.
Oh, wow.
And
He's in what?
We all haven't met up recently.
Yeah.
In unison, but we might.
Well, maybe if you could
talk to both of them, find out what they think about a reunion.
Yeah, and see about when a good time would be.
Sure.
And I'm sure the co-ops there would be, you know, very happy to host you.
Uh-huh. Well, that's interesting. I didn't know they had started up co-ops.
Yeah, and, well, it's interesting, the history of that. There were, in the late 50s, there were a couple of, in the summer, some co-op theme houses. There was a Russian house and a Chinese house.
Yeah.
For sort of intensive language courses, and they were run cooperatively. But then, 1966, there was an editorial calling for creation of co-op houses, and then in 1970, the first co-op houses came into being.
Uh-huh.
And then they've, you know, they sprouted up many after that, and they've continued through now.
Now, are they owned by the students?
No, unfortunately, they're all except one owned by the university.
Right.
So.
And who provides the food for instance?
The students basically run everything in the house except, you know, maintenance.
Okay.
And they do their own food service and cleaning.
Uh-huh.
And.
Okay, because we operated on Rochdale.
Ah.
Co-op principles, and all we did was pay rent for the place.
Uh huh.
And we had to maintain everything else.
Kept the building up, too?
Yes.
Huh.
Now, you know, it was only a few years we had the building.
Yeah.
But if something went wrong, yeah, we'd have to. I don't ever recall getting a plumber. No, I was manager there for a while. And Randolph was a manager before me.
Uh-huh.
And I don't recall very much. Now, we hired our own cook. We had a cook.
Yeah. Now, it's like one of the things, at first you tried to do the cooking cooperatively?
Now, that I don't remember. That
yeah.
might have been before I got there.
Uh-huh.
But we had a hired cook. But that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And she would, she had co-op member assistants. And if we were going to have potatoes that night, they peeled them.
Ah.
And we always did wash the dishes and dried them and put them away. Did what, and the, whatever she needed help with
uh-huh.
in cooking.
Do you remember her name?
The one that I remember was her name was Mrs. Enos.
Huh.
Enox, E-N-O-C-K, or something like that.
Huh, okay.
Mrs. Enox.
There were several.
There was one before her.
Uh-huh.
And they were black,
uh-huh.
both of them. One was from Missouri, and I don't know where the other one was from.
Huh.
The first one I didn't know. Mrs. Enox is the one that I dealt with as manager.
Yeah.
And, you mentioned about upkeep. We painted inside and things like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, huh.
Bought the paint. And once we were going to paint the kitchen because it was sort of dingy.
Uh-huh.
And the guys came to me and they said, do you think we ought to wash the walls first? And I said, sure, you got to wash the walls first. Paint won't stick. When they finished washing the walls, there was no need to paint it. Yeah, I mean, it was bright. It was this hard, glossy paint.
Huh.
And
oh, that's
it was in first-class shape. So we painted it anyway because we had to paint. So we did our maintenance. We mowed the lawn, all that kind of stuff.
Huh. Now, where did the ideas about the Rochdale principles and all that come from? Was that through the university student co-ops at Berkeley? Do you know?
The student co-op in Berkeley was certainly something to be followed. It was well known amongst the co-op at Stanford.
Yeah.
And it was a, Now, I don't, I wasn't there at the beginning when they first started up, but the Berkeley Co-op was sort of our model.
Yeah, okay.
Now, the Berkeley Co-op was big.
Oh, yeah.
At the time.
In fact, I was an alumnus of that in 1970, late 1970s,
uh-huh.
when I was an undergrad at Berkeley.
University of Washington, for instance, had a fairly large size student co-op.
Uh-huh.
Which I did my undergraduate work in.
Oh, I see.
Now, I lived at home. I didn't belong to it. Because Seattle was my hometown, and it was cheaper.
Yeah.
I was a commuter.
Yeah.
But it had, I think almost every university, big university in the West Coast is public except for Stanford.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think they all had co-ops.
Oh, really?
That was my impression. There was an organization that sort of kept up with what was going on at the various co-ops. Now, I don't know whether there was a newsletter or something like that.
Huh.
But we knew they existed. Now, where are they... Whether the original founding people had been at Berkeley and came over and started up a co-op, I don't know.
Huh.
And I think this, if we can get a hold of this McCann,
yeah,
I think he can tell you probably the whole story of the origin.
Yeah. Huh. That's interesting. I don't know if the University of Washington has co-ops now. I don't think they do.
They don't. Well.
And
they did when in 37 to 41 when I was there.
Huh. Now that's interesting. See, a lot of them started in the Depression.
Right.
This fellow Kagawa from Japan had toured across the U.S. sponsored by the United States, I think it was Christian Association, something like that. And at a number of places where he spoke, students started co-ops, including UCLA and Berkeley, Ann Arbor, and I think Toronto. And so it's very interesting to hear there were co-ops at University of Washington.
Yeah.
In that period. Huh.
Now, I can look it up in my old annual to see about it, but I didn't belong to it. I just knew it existed.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. So, yeah, I was wondering, because Cyclone used the term work shift manager.
Yeah.
And that's used in the USCA, in the Berkeley co-ops.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking there might have been some cultural transmission across
the
Bay.
It could easily be. It could easily be. Sure. Yeah.
So, let's see what other questions I had here. I guess those were the main questions I had. Let's see. So now, were you? When did you start? You came in 41.
Yep.
And the house was still in Alvarado then?
Yes.
I see. So you were with it when it moved.
I was with it when it moved.
Yeah.
And I was a graduate student, and then I started to live in it in 42.
I
and that
see.
Was a Japanese house.
Okay. And, now, it's interesting, so the administration just didn't want this kind of house to exist. It was too independent?
I think so. They wanted to control almost everything that was going on in the campus.
Yeah.
Urich especially.
How do you spell that name?
It's E-U.
Uh-huh.
R-I-C-K, I think. Alvin. A-L-V-I-N.
Yeah.
Alvin Urich. And I remember going to see him.
Uh-huh.
Personally, when we had to do with the
imperious?
Hmm?
Was he sort of imperious?
No, he wanted the university to be named the trustee.
Yeah.
He wanted to control it.
Hmm.
And we said thank you, but no thank you.
Yeah. Huh.
And then I think he was the one who gave us the no sign about starting up again. They closed us out. They closed them out just when the war was over.
Yeah.
And I think they did that. I think maybe you're right, but I can't for say sure that they did it under the guise that they had to repossess the Japanese house for the returning Japanese. Because they were the trustees for the Japanese Association.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Huh.
Now, whatever happened then with the Japanese house and the Japanese Association, I do not know.
Yeah. Okay. Hmm.
And subsequent to that time, the house had disappeared.
Yeah.
And when, I don't know.
Because they terminated and bought all the sorority houses in 1944.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right.
And it seemed they had this post-war vision of sort of taking over as much as they could.
Sure.
Now there are only two independently owned houses in the whole student housing.
I'm not surprised. The fraternities in almost every place fell on financial hard times.
Yeah.
As well as social. Yeah. And so...
During the war, you mean?
No, even subsequent to that, in the 60s and so forth.
Oh, well, the 60s... Yeah, in fact, what happened is a lot of the frats were just had vacancies, and so there was a lot of houses available for other alternatives.
Sure.
And that's how a lot of the co-ops sprouted up.
Right.
Well,
they essentially went broke.
Yeah.
So the university stepped in and took over.
Yeah. Well, what had happened was in the late 50s, which was a pretty high time for the Greeks.
Yeah.
They had convinced the fraternities to let them build these new houses for them.
Sure.
In exchange for taking their old houses.
Yeah.
And the new houses would be owned by the university.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of the fraternities, went for that. And that's how most of them lost their houses.
I see.
And so by the time the 60s hit, the university had control of the facilities.
Right.
So, there were a couple of fraternities that converted to being co-ed co-ops, Phi Psi and Theta Chi.
Mm-hmm.
And, some of the fraternities would became independent chapters or non-affiliates of the Nationals.
Right.
The co-ops I was involved with at Stanford are called Synergy House and Column Bay House.
Mm-hmm.
And Column Bay is in the old Kappa Alpha Theta
uh-huh.
house.
Yeah.
And Synergy is in the old Sigma Nu house. And so those have been very, very good experiences. And sort of my joy of those houses is made me continuing my interest in co-op history at Stanford.
Yeah, okay.
Did you know...
You were there in the 70s?
Yeah, I was there at Stanford 79 to 86.
I see.
Getting my PhD in biology and postdocing also.
Luck wasn't around then, still, was he?
No, I never heard of him. He might be deceased. He wasn't. There were only a couple of professor emerituses
at that time.
Biology, Arthur Giza, and I'm forgetting the other fellow. Giza's still alive.
Are you acquainted with the annual reviews that come out of out of someplace near Stanford?
Is
it biology?
Annual review of biology and systematics, or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Murray Luck was one of the founders of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And so, that's all I,
oh.
I remember. I remember he was doing a lot with it, and he was one of the editors and founders.
Oh. Now, do you remember anything more about him?
No, I remember the man, of course, and he was always very helpful for the co-ops.
Uh-huh.
He was very interested in it.
Uh-huh.
Whether he helped them start up in whatever year they did, 39 or 40,
yeah,
I wouldn't be at all surprised.
Yeah.
And on occasion, he had some kind of a home with fruit trees and stuff like that, and I think it was fruit trees, and he'd let co-op members come out and at harvest time and pick for their own use.
Huh. Wow.
And I think he even had some picnics out there or things like that.
Huh.
Now, that disappeared in the war.
Huh.
Although he was still around, and he was named one of the trustees.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. In some ways, I seem to be following in his footsteps, being a in biology there at Stanford, and then getting interested in co-ops.
Yeah, right.
And that's very interesting.
I'll tell you that we housed and fed students at less than half the cost it took.
Hmm.
And in some cases, almost a third of the cost it took.
Wow. Well,
to live in a university dorm.
Wow.
We didn't have very much rent.
Right, right.
And then we fed a fair number of people in fact, when I was there, the first year med school class was down at Stanford.
Uh-huh.
This was when the teaching school for second and third year was up in San Francisco.
Hmm.
Before they did the whole business by pulling it back to Stanford.
Right.
And so we essentially fed lunch to the first year med students.
Oh, wow. How many were, you know, what was the size of the people eating lunch, the number?
Oh, it'd be about 40 or so. I think there was only about 20 people in the house.
So what did you call the other 20?
Well, they were members, all right.
Yeah.
But just not live-in members.
Yeah.
And,
So they ate just, would there be 40 at dinner or just the many at lunch?
I think they ate both lunch and dinner.
I see.
That's my recollection of it.
Huh. Because that tradition continues there. The co-op houses have a number of what are called eating associates now.
Uh-huh.
Of people of various
And they eat both
stripes.
Lunch and dinner?
Yeah, or and breakfast.
Well, no, we never served breakfast.
Yeah, well, the lunch and breakfast are, you know, do your own, open kitchen.
Oh, okay.
Kind of thing.
Well,
yeah.
We had set-down lunches.
Yeah, huh. Well.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear of Breakers Eating Club?
The Breakers?
Yeah.
Yes, I remember hearing it. Well, in fact, of all the eating clubs they had, when I went there as a graduate student, they housed the graduate student on the fifth floor of Encina.
Hmm.
Over four floors of freshmen.
Huh.
Which was an interesting thing.
Yeah.
And then the eating clubs were essentially right there.
Uh-huh.
Next door. Now, I don't remember. It was over by Taiyuan.
Yeah.
And I don't remember. I remember thinking of eating or trying to you know, become a member of an evening club.
Uh-huh.
But then I ran into the co-op house.
Yeah.
And they had quite a few graduate students there.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So that seemed like a natural. And yeah. It was cheaper.
Yeah, huh. Well, yeah, the prices, these have continued to hold, but the board plans are about a third to a half of the dormitory board plans.
Is that
at the co-ops today.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
And these economics seem to be fairly universal.
One of the great embarrassments to the university of the co-op house
uh-huh.
was the average, grade point average.
Hmm.
It was so much better than all the fraternities and sororities.
Huh.
I mean, really better. Yeah, the fraternities and sororities would have something like, 2.3
uh-huh.
average or something like that. Co-op house would come in with a 3.1.
Wow.
So, and we had quite a few Phi Beta Kappas undergraduates.
Huh.
Very bright, but poor people were there.
Yeah.
And so...
Do you think that embarrassed the administration?
Well, I think it... I think it would push more on the students who didn't like the comparison.
Oh, I see.
But anyway.
Now, Cyclone was saying that there was some pretext, like there was a car left in the front yard or something like that used to close the house.
That could be. I wasn't there at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that possibly
was. Yeah.
The excuses they used.
Yeah. So you, let's see, you didn't deal with Luck very much after the war as a trustee?
No. We kept up this trusteeship of this very small amount of money.
Uh-huh.
We invested some of it in the Berkeley Co-op.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You mean just
a note or something like that.
I see, just to get interest.
Sure.
Oh, I see.
And then we had a little savings account where we deposited the interest until we decided what to do.
I see.
Murray Luck was always wanted us to, and I guess he was right then, but we were very conservative.
Uh-huh.
He wanted us to put it in the stock market.
Huh. That's funny.
And if we'd done it, we would have ended up heroes.
Wow.
But anyway, we didn't.
Because of the, the market climbed?
Yeah, because the market really took off.
Ah.
No, there was a bit of a depression in the 50s.
Yeah.
The early 50s. About the time of the Korean War.
Mm.
And then it snapped out of it.
I wonder, was that when it was given to the university, was it just basically let loose, or were there any stipulations on how it was to be spent?
No, I think I have a transmittal letter or a copy of it, but I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I'm sure there was some kind of a stipulation.
Huh.
I think we may have devoted it to a scholarship for co-op or something like that.
Yeah, I'd like to know what happened, ever happened to that. It'd be interesting to see if any of it was still kicking around or...
Yeah.
Well, what?
Well, you know, the university, I don't know how Stanford now accounts for their endowment accounts, but at one time they used to list every single one.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody gave $100 in memoriam to their husband, and that, you know, is picayune.
Right.
It was still listed as a separate line item. Now universities have gotten... Well, I don't know whether they're close up a little bit more or
yeah.
too much work to do that. I have no idea what it's about.
Yeah, Stanford's on a $1 billion campaign drive right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So that's quite a bit.
Oh, yes. Well, inflation is hit and all that kind of stuff. So you... You know, I mean, when you talk about $1,500, that's yeah. trivial.
Do you remember having a pretty good time in the house?
Oh, yes. We had a very good time. We enjoyed it. We had people from... We had people from all over, as a matter of fact. We had some South Americans. And, yeah, they were a fairly sociable bunch of people.
Uh-huh.
Got along quite well. And once in a while, we'd put on some kind of a social evening.
Huh. Yeah, Cyclone was saying that the Hilltop women would come down.
Right.
Were they regular members that would eat there?
No, no.
Huh.
No. That's the women's co-op.
Right. Was that a co-op, actually?
Yes. It was a co-op. And I don't remember all the details about it.
Huh.
I think it was a co-op.
It was in the house of one of the... What was it? I think it was a widow of a faculty member?
That could be. That could be. No, we weren't... We were not overly social with them.
Yeah.
We'd have some kind of an affair maybe twice a year.
I see.
But that would be about it.
Okay.
Everybody seemed to be on an individual basis to go their own way.
Yeah. Huh. Do you, how did people, since the co-op experience was pretty new at Stanford, how did people feel about that? The members, were they, you know, was it a revelation for them, or was it, they just were
well,
fond
of it? Well, I
don't think
revelation, I think they looked upon the people as co-op members as being a little bit different.
Huh.
And probably they knew that they weren't very affluent.
Uh-huh.
You know, there were the average Stanford student was essentially wealthy when I was here.
I see. Ah. So there's quite a sort of a class distinction in some way.
No, Stanford was pretty democratic about that.
Oh, uh-huh.
They didn't look down on them. They looked sideways at them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Different in that sense.